Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The name of the Lord in the life of the Christian, the church, and fulfilled in Jesus. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January is Blessed Be His Name, Revealing the Sacred Names of God. It's written by regular guest Dr. Kevin Golden. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request Blessed Be His Name, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January, Blessed Be His Name. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the last half hour of the broadcast today, we are going to be going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We keep both of these channels of communication open for our listeners because we know that so many of them listen on demand, and even live listeners want to reflect on what they've heard and maybe have a question, a comment, a criticism, or a show suggestion. That's why we have the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, and our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org.
As I sat down into Studio B, it struck me that the studio still has yet to be named. So if you'd like to honor somebody in their memory, we still have one studio left. For a suggested donation of $50,000 or more, you can give an actual name to the studio.
Otherwise, it'll just stay Studio B.
Correct.
Forever.
I was talking to Craig. You know, one thing we should have had the contractors do is we soundproofed it. It has a special plexiglass that's good for soundproofing, but we left the blinds in between the window and the plexiglass. In hindsight, what we probably should have done is taking the blinds out if you ever wanted natural light in Studio A or Studio B, and then put like some kind of curtains on the inside, you know, something to go up or
down. That would have made sense. I mean, the problem there is where you're sitting in Studio B, that window faces directly west. And I can imagine that it's probably going to get pretty warm in there when the sun is up a little bit longer and you're getting that evening, especially in the summer, you're getting that evening sun coming in through there.
When Beth and I were first married, we lived in West County in St. Louis, and we would take, is that 40 West out to like town and country? We lived in town and country in an apartment. I never understood because the sun was setting in the west and people are driving home and it is just in your face. And at that time, they didn't have the extended 40. It was bumper to bumper, and it's just the sun is beating on you all the way home. I'm like, why do these people live in West County? Go east, young man. Go east. So anyway, but yeah, just call 618-223-8385. I'd love to talk to you if you're interested in naming Studio B.
I get around that sun problem because, I mean, you've seen them. I just wear old man sunglasses. You know, the big goggles that
you do, the ones on the side?
The big old goggles that just fit over the top of my glasses. I've been wearing those for years.
Honestly, which surprises me because your glasses are so huge. I didn't know that they made sunglasses to fit over those enormously huge glasses.
Well, I could almost fit any sunglasses over these things, but it is, my wife absolutely hates it because we'll be driving down the highway and I'm wearing my big old man sunglasses that are super wide. I don't mind it. I mean, to me, it's just practical.
Are they safe? What's the peripheral vision like?
Oh, it's great because it's got sunglasses over here, too. It's got like a little window. Very safe.
Okay. All right.
Great vision.
All right. We better get to email. We're running out of time. Rick writes, in regards to yesterday's interview with Dr. Scott Stiegmeier on speaking the truth in love about transgenderism, he writes, "Hello, I was a little surprised that the pastor who spoke about transgenderism recently didn't make any mention that I heard of possible underlying severe mental illness being a factor. Your previous shows with Walt Heyer and others made me understand that oftentimes there is coexisting severe mental illness or severe childhood abuse. At the end of the interview, when he was discussing actually talking with someone struggling with transgenderism, I was just very surprised that not involving any kind of mental health professional wasn't mentioned, and I wondered why. Thank you for listening, and thanks for the email, Rick.
Well, Dr. Stiegemeier did mention gender dysphoria, which until like 15 minutes ago was considered a bona fide mental illness. It isn't any longer, sad to say, but it still is. I mean, objectively speaking, gender dysphoria is a mental illness. It's a problem. And you will not find anyone in the United States who's willing to admit that anymore, except a few people. But if we only continue to understand it as a mental illness, we would take a huge step toward actually dealing with it. But you're right. There are also other factors that lead into this that seem to be pretty common. What Dr. Stiegemeier was trying to do, and he did acknowledge that, he didn't say mental illness, those words, but he did acknowledge the existence of gender dysphoria as not just, well, I have gender dysphoria, but that I'm fine, but as a serious, serious problem. We probably should have mentioned that it is a mental illness and that there are other factors of mental illness that go along with it. But he was dealing with it more from a pastoral perspective and trying to speak how a pastor might deal with it. And pastors are not psychologists or psychiatrists. They're not therapists. They are not qualified to diagnose mental illness. They may recognize it when they see it. They say, I think you might be depressed, or I think you might have some other problem here. But they're not in the position to be able to diagnose it or to treat it. So he was dealing with mostly from a pastoral perspective.
Dick in California writes, in your most recent segment in which you responded to listener emails, one of your listeners shared the reaction to an interview with Joy Pullman in which she referenced the Capitol riots as well as Black Lives Matter riots. Your listener pointed out a key distinction between these riots. The Capitol rioters were responding to their belief that Donald Trump had rightfully won the election. Those who participated in the BLM riots were responding to the deaths of George Floyd and others at the hands of police. While we must condemn both, one of these parties had many, many opportunities to have their grievances adjudicated and refused to accept the conclusion. In your response to this email, you rightly expose the childish reaction in which our sinful nature says, yes, my side did this, but those guys did worse. I kept waiting, however, for you to respond to the listener's distinction between the grievances, which struck me as very significant. Thanks for listening in California, Dick.
I mean, maybe in theory they're significant, but for me, from a Christian perspective, if we can agree that nothing justifies either what took place in Kenosha or Portland or Seattle by way of violence and destruction of property, or Washington, D.C., by way of violence and destruction of property, if we can agree that nothing justifies either of those acts of violence and destruction of property, then why go back and say, but one side got to do this, or one side got a fair hearing, or one side didn't? To me, we simply agree as Christians that nothing justifies the violence and the destruction of property in those cases, in either case. And whether someone got a fair hearing, whether someone was treated unfairly, we've already agreed that nothing justifies it. So we can say unequivocally that as Christians, to hurt and harm our neighbor in his body or his property is forbidden by God. The only people who are allowed to do that are the people into whose hands God puts the sword, and they're to do it at God's command. If the government has a reason to break things and hurt people, that is a just reason, then they can do that. But individual citizens do not have the right to take the law into their own hands, and we have the commandment against hurting and harming our neighbor in his body and in his property. And nothing, we cannot say, well, but I can break the fifth commandment this time because I didn't get a fair hearing, or I can break the commandment this time because I wasn't treated fairly. When we come back, a little more of your email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Learn to take it well. Only wish my words could just convince myself that it just wasn't real. But that's not the way it feels.
Operator, well, could you help me, please?
You could win recordings of all 10 Making the Case conferences and recordings of more than 50 hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. Here's how. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. with Apple Podcasts. Copy and paste the text of your review and send it to talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll announce the winners on February 1st. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. with Apple Podcasts and send your review to talkback@issuesetc.org.
This is a message for pastors and lay leaders of Missouri Synod congregations. As we enter the last quarter of 2020, how are you doing and how's your church doing? What has the COVID lockdown done to your attendance and giving? In 25% of our churches, giving's actually gone up. So why are some churches struggling and others thriving? Here at LCMS Stewardship and the whole Office of National Mission Team, we have answers and we have help for you and your church today. LCMS.org/stewardship.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
Well, did you get my message? Ooh, did you get my message?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Hey, don't let me forget this. I always think of show ideas after the fact, but coming off the observation of Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday, I need to reach out to Mark Kaltoff, chairman of the history department at Hillsdale College. We need to do a show on the beliefs, comparing, contrasting the beliefs of Martin Luther King Jr. with Malcolm X.
Yeah, that's a really good idea, because in a lot of ways, even though it seemed like MLK won that debate, I think in the end, at least for the time being, Malcolm X has taken the day.
I mean, they certainly have caused a lot of destruction, but you know, I'm not a historian, but it'd be great to get somebody on to talk about that. So don't let me forget that for next year.
Kaltoff.
We have an exciting contest going on that we should tell our listeners about it. And it's pretty simple. And the winners, we're giving away more than one, gets all recording of all 10 Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences, recording of all 4 CDs featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir with more than 50 hymns, our book Objections Overruled, and the very coveted LPR bundle package.
How do they make themselves eligible?
I was giving it to you.
Oh, you're handing it to me.
Yes.
Well, what we're just to be completely honest, we want more people to subscribe to Issues Etc. via iTunes, via Apple Podcasts. That's what it's called now. To my great chagrin, iTunes was broken up into music and movies and podcasts, and it's kind of changed the way things work over there. And we want more people to subscribe at Apple iTunes. And there's a simple reason for that. It's because a lot of your ratings on podcast providers, they take their cue from the ratings at Apple Podcasts. And it also means more people will listen to the program. So we're asking people who haven't already done so to subscribe, to rate, and to review. We prefer 5 stars. If 5 stars is their highest, right? We always prefer 5 stars. But be honest. Subscribe, rate, and review at Apple Podcasts, Issues Etc. And then if you would, just email us your review at talkback@issuesetc.org, and you'll be entered automatically for all those fantastical prizes that Jeff just mentioned.
Yeah, if you go to our website, if you haven't already subscribed to Issues Etc. on Apple Podcasts, go to issuesetc.org, scroll down towards the bottom of the page, other ways to listen, and click on Listen on Apple Podcasts, and you can go from there. And we're going to announce the winners on Monday, February 1st. So appreciate you subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. on Apple Podcasts. David in Extreme Southern Missouri writes, "Hello, Pastor and Jeff. Well, after 6 years in divine service training, my kindergarten grandson Sunday during communion looked up and asked, 'Is that blood?' I wanted to just say yes, but considering his age, I said I would talk to him after church. So how should I talk to a six-year-old about Holy Communion and specifically about his question?" And he puts in parentheses, "Sorry for the length, Jeff."
That wasn't long.
No, that was awesome.
Well, I've got a very good answer for you. And this is one of those times that I deeply appreciate being a confessional Lutheran, because the answer is already provided. Now, what is the child asking? They're asking that because they've heard already the pastor during the service of Holy Communion say, in the words of institution, where Christ says, "This is my body, this is the New Testament in my blood." And then they've heard the pastor, as they go down the line in communion, or however you're doing that now during COVID, say, "Take and eat the body of Jesus given for you, take and drink the blood of Jesus poured out for you." So he asks, quite innocently, "Is that blood?" And the answer is, yes, it is Jesus' blood. It is also wine, but it is also Jesus' blood. Now, that needs some explanation, doesn't it? Because a six-year-old might be quite alarmed by the notion of drinking blood. And if it was any other person's blood, they should be alarmed. But Christ has commanded us to eat his body and drink his blood, as scandalous as it sounds to unbelieving ears. I'm not saying the child is unbelieving. I'm saying not yet instructed. So how do you instruct children in things like the Lord's Supper? Well, why don't you just pull out your catechism? And there we are very clearly told by Luther himself in the Lutheran Confessions how a father ought to teach his children about a lot of things, like the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, absolution, and the Lord's Supper. So the question's really simple. What is the Lord's Supper? What's the sacrament of the altar? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the bread and wine for us Christians to eat and drink, instituted by Christ himself. That's your first answer. Now, you might have to explain that to a six-year-old. And if they say, "How do I know this? Where did you get that idea?" You say, "With Luther, the holy evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul, write thus," and then they have the words of institution. You might even go on to instruct them of what the benefit of eating such bread, wine, body, and blood are. And in this way, you can, in a simple way that even a six-year-old can eventually understand if taught properly, teach them that while this certainly is blood in the cup, it is Jesus' blood for us to eat and drink according to his command, and it gives forgiveness, life, and salvation. Best advice I could possibly give you is sit down and open the catechism. They don't have to understand it all, but maybe you might teach them to memorize those words, and then they can really learn why there is body in that bread and blood in that cup.
Hi, this is James from Belgrade, Minnesota. On your January 14th listener comment show, you mentioned a controversy in the LCMS church, with some pastors threatening to leave and join the Eastern Orthodox Church. As a recent Lutheran convert, I've never heard this before, and I was hoping you could delve into this a little more. When was this, and what issues did those pastors have with the Lutheran Church? All right, I'll look forward to your answers. Thanks for putting on a good show.
And thank you very much for your question. Well, I think that we probably could do no better than to have Pastor Will Wheaton on to talk about that subject, because, first of all, he's well-versed in both Lutheran theology and the theology of Eastern Orthodoxy, but he was also one of those pastors at the time that came within a hair's breadth of converting from Lutheranism to Eastern Orthodoxy. I know he's given public presentations about this, and I think he's written about it fairly extensively. And I'd be happy to talk to him about it. At the time, I was involved with other pastors who were less honest about their decision to want to go east, as we said in those days. This occurred about, what was it, Jeff? What were the years? Probably started in the very early, very mid-1990s and ran through probably 2005, 2006, somewhere in that neighborhood, where there were just kind of in the Missouri Synod, a spate of pastors occasionally would decide to go and convert to Orthodoxy. Now, just to make clear, Pastor Wheaton did not convert to Orthodoxy, but he came very close. He will tell you himself, he came very close to converting. And I think his story would probably be very instructive. I was involved with a group of pastors. We were counseling two fellow pastors who were flirting with Orthodoxy. And unfortunately, after 3 solid years of meeting with them on a monthly basis, we were unsuccessful in deterring them from making that move. But we did our best to try and deter them. It just, they had, in my opinion, they had their minds made up even before we sat down to meet with them monthly for 3 solid years.
Some positive email. James says, from your most loyal Baptist missionary listener in Northeast Cambodia, your ministry has impacted me profoundly and I recommend it to everyone. Todd Wilkin is the best interviewer on radio. There you go.
That's very nice. It is my job, so.
James's last name is Wilkin, by the way. I didn't know you had relatives in Northeast Cambodia.
Is it spelled the same way?
No, I'm just, that was a joke, Todd, a joke.
Yeah, I don't, humor sometimes escapes me.
Pamela writes, you walk with me nearly every day. We walk together for at least an hour, close to 4 miles. Thank you for assisting me on my fitness journey, body, mind, and spirit.
Thank you very much. Happy to know we could keep you company on your walk.
And Jean writes, in regards to your recent interview on Dressing Modestly with Katie Schuurman, this episode is really good and very important today. Give us more of the same, please.
Yeah, I think we would need to have Katie back on to deal with some other attendant thing. There's a lot we could have talked about with her in terms of modesty and the challenges that parents or pastors might face with regard to that. It's a huge issue for young women. And I've got a granddaughter who's just turned 2 years old. And I got to be honest with you, I fear for her circumstances growing up. I mean, Craig across the glass there has got 3 daughters. Jeff's already been through most of it. Now he's got the girls almost through the cycle. But I can't, you know, I had a hard enough time raising our daughter during times when I thought it was bad. And it was much tamer. But nowadays, boy, I feel for the parents and the pastors who have to deal with that.
You got a minute to answer this, Todd. Paul Alexander of Virginia, just to help with debates, the 6th commandment forbids adultery. I couldn't find any place where God forbids fornication per se. Several places where it's condemned, but it's not expressly forbidden. Likewise, polygamy. Any references would be greatly appreciated.
Well, we got to deal with polygamy probably a different time. Christ does tell us that the standard for marriage is male and female, Adam and Eve. That's one man, one woman, and God permitted many things in the Old Testament under Moses, both divorce and polygamy, because, as Jesus says, because of the hardness of your heart. So while polygamy is permitted in the Old Testament, it is never commanded and it's never expressly condoned by God. In fact, it's always in the Old Testament depicted in a very negative light because of the consequences it has in marriage. As to fornication, I think it fits firmly under the 6th commandment against adultery. And this is where Luther leads us in the Large Catechism, where he says that everybody, single people, married people, live a chaste and decent life, and that we honor one another in our bodies. The admonitions against sexual immorality in St. Paul are numerous. They're all over the place. And so we don't have to have it in explicit, you can't do this and you can't do that. We are told to flee sexual immorality. Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll get an introduction to the book of Revelation with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, and we'll continue our series on the sacred names of God with Dr. Kevin Golden. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What are the particular comforts of Lutheran theology and practice? Find out in my column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Peter Slayton writes about growing up in a Christianity that was more about him and what he was doing, and finding in the Lutheran Confession a Christianity that focused on Jesus. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.